Okay, praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to Youth Week 2024. We invite you to stand with us tonight. We're going to worship the Lord, and we are going to just celebrate being in His presence.
Sing a little louder than before. Oh.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Youth Week 2024. Woo-hoo! First off, I would like to welcome any guests that are here in this place. If you're worshiping with us in person, there's a kiosk outside where you can get some information about the church, or you can go to online at bit.ly/connectedtocg. Giving options are posted in the entrance. You can mail it in, you can go to our website, or you can give right through the church app. Youth Week announcements. Obviously, tonight we're having a good time worshiping God with the youth. Did they do a good job? Woo! Tomorrow we have a bonfire, and if there are any kids that are not already signed up for that, make sure you get them signed up. On Friday we're going to Milwaukee for a service. And on Saturday, we're having to get together with all the parents, siblings. And then Sunday we'll be back here in the morning worshiping with the youth leading the service. And looking ahead, we have a baby dedication on September 8th. That will take place at 11 a.m. If you'd like a child to be dedicated to the Lord, please register right in the church center and scan the QR code, and the flyers are posted on the doors. I pray and ask that everyone please rise. We're going to pray for the service. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd have your hand upon the rest of the service. I pray you'd anoint the youth that are up here leading this service and the seniors that are speaking tonight. God, I pray you'd have your hand and that you would do amazing things here, God, that we'd have the expectation that you are great and you will do great things tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
My faithful Father calling me out of the dark. I cannot whisper away what is said in the light. And He is my firm foundation. My anchor won't be storms may collide, but my soul is on fire with His word. So we listen to the sound.
We listen to the sound
of power on my
power lips. On my lips.
Jesus has broken the curse.
Jesus has broken the curse.
He has never lost.
He has never lost
a battle.
A battle.
Who are you, great mountain? Defeated the darkness.
Jesus defeated the darkness.
He has never lost.
He has never lost
a battle.
A battle.
Oh,
and He never will.
The battle.
Our great defender.
Still moving. Amen. Why don't we worship him a little bit more? God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. You're still moving, God. You're still proving, Jesus. No matter our circumstances, Jesus, you're still moving, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Isn't God good? Amen. You can all be seated this afternoon. Welcome to Youth Week for the second time. Wednesday night of Youth Week is always my favorite night. It's a little bittersweet. We get to hear from our two seniors, so super excited about that. This year is a little hard. The two seniors are very special to me. They have a special place in my heart. I've had the opportunity to work alongside both of them, not only in youth, but also in music. They keep me young. They make sure I know what's going on in the hip-hop world, so I'm going to get old now that they're leaving me. But tonight, I have the opportunity to introduce our first speaker. I have known this young lady. I was trying to do the math. I don't know. I think it's like 8 years, but it might be longer. And I was trying to think of the very first time I ever talked to Kate or like had an interaction with her, and I honestly couldn't think of it. So I just remember way back in the day, I would go over to the Rivest household, and Abby and I would be sitting there watching a movie or talking in her bedroom, and all of a sudden Kate would just come like storming down the hallway or running down the stairs and just start throwing pillows at us or throwing clothes at us. And back then I was like, it's just Abby's little sister, you know, like that's just what little sisters do. Until I got old and realized that Kate and I are the same person, and I did the exact same thing. So we've bonded over being the best little sisters. Yep. And with that, for those of you who don't know Kate, she's that person. She's the fun person. I always say when she comes into a youth event, you know we're going to have a good time. She can make almost every person laugh with her silly little voice that I can't do, so I'm not going to do it for you guys. But the one thing I love about her is she's willing and able to talk to every person. There's people who are sitting by themselves or new people, and she's always willing to go up, introduce herself, and talk to them. And I just love that about her. And I didn't ask if I could share this story, and hopefully it's okay. But I remember that one of the first times that Kate was asked to do a solo in the main sanctuary. And we had the practice, and afterwards we were in the bathroom, and she was, you know, crying and shaking and all nervous, you know, as one is. And I think she was like 14 or 15. And we were talking about it, and of course she did an amazing job, right? And I look at her tonight, and here she is. I don't know how many years later, 4 or 5 years later, and she's up here worship leading. And I'm so extremely proud that you didn't let your fear, you didn't let any of that hold you back, and you've allowed God to use your talents, to use your ability to get up here and not be afraid or ashamed. For most of you who don't know, Kate also went on a missions trip to Japan, and she's found a mission and a passion for Japan, for the mission field. She started a P7 club in her high school, and she's just not ashamed to share the gospel. And I am so extremely proud of this young lady. I'm very sad because I love her dearly, and I'm very sad, but I am so excited to see where God leads her. So Kate, come and preach to us tonight.
Thank you so much, Sarah. She basically already said everything that I was going to talk about tonight, but that's okay. But praise God. My name's Kate, like Sarah said, if you don't already know who I am. And I'm just very thankful to be up here today to talk about my next steps in life and just to talk about everything that God has done for me and everything that he's leading me to do. And I just wanted to start off by thanking everyone who has been involved in my life. My family, you guys have been with me. And you've always supported me. You've been with me through it all, even when I was throwing pillows at you, Abby. I'm sorry. And I also want to thank my Pastor Roy. I'm so thankful for your leadership and for the opportunity to speak today. And just to my youth leaders as well in the youth group, I want to thank my previous youth leaders, Kyle and Alicia, for everything that they've done for me throughout the years. They've been with me the longest, and just thank you so much. And I also want to thank Jordan and Abby. I didn't get a chance to be with them in the youth group long, but they've been my music directors for like 4 years now. So I'm just so blessed for everything that they have helped me with. And I love you all so much. You're going to do awesome. And thank you all for believing in me. You know, as I was finishing up high school and just throughout all of my years of school, I'm really glad that I made it through it all by having such an amazing church community. High school was fun at times and it was tough at others, but I just wanted to share a little bit of my testimony today, just in the past few years where God has led me, where he's helped me to grow, and I've sorted I've sort of talked about this before, and Sarah mentioned it, but I just want to talk about faith and trust today and how I started a P7 in my school. So there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that most of you may know, Proverbs 3:5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I know this scripture is pretty common, but it's something that I had to learn to do over the years. And it was a verse that I constantly found myself going back to. And because it can be hard to not lean on your own understanding sometimes, especially when God calls you to do something out of your comfort zone, and sometimes it's just hard to believe in God's wisdom and look up to him in guidance. We want to do things our own way. But like I said, I just want to talk about how when I did enter into high school, I felt a very strong call to start a P7 Bible study. And just so if you don't know what P7 is, I think most of us do, but it's an organization that encourages students and gives out resources to students to start Bible studies in their high school and campuses. And I always knew what it was growing up. I always heard about the stories, heard about the testimonies, you know, at youth camp and how those people started those clubs in their schools. And I always knew the impact of it. But I was always kind of like, you know, that's not something I would ever see myself doing. I'm not a teacher. I don't know about that, God. I want to do it, but I'm scared, and I didn't want to do it alone. And those were just the thoughts that were running through my head. And for a long time, I had a lot of fear, and I pushed the thought aside because I didn't think I was capable of doing something so important. You know, the Bible says to trust in God with all of our hearts, but sometimes I'll admit we can all doubt what God is asking us to do or what he's making us walk through. But there were so many circumstances where I had to put my faith and trust in the Lord and all of my thoughts aside, and things turned out better when I walked with him. I can say that. I knew that by putting everything in God's hands, it was going to be okay. But I'll admit, it wasn't easy. I pushed it off because of the fear. For at least 2 years, I didn't even start the club. And even though I needed to do it, I knew that my school needed Jesus. But it wasn't until someone came up to me at senior camp about 2 years ago saying that she had a vision of me speaking in my school confidently and with boldness that I really began to take the call seriously. And just in that moment, I realized and I prayed on it. And I was like, okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do. Give me the strength to do it. And after camp had ended, a few weeks passed, and I had someone else come up to me in church saying that God had something for me to do. And I just immediately knew what it was, and I had so much faith over what had been spoken over me, and I just knew that God was in control, and I knew that he used these people to tell me these things. And so I started off my junior year of high school, and I reached out to this girl that I had known in one of my previous classes. I reached out to her because I knew that she went to a Spanish-speaking Pentecostal church in Madison, and she had similar beliefs to me. And so I was like, okay, there couldn't be a better person and a better opportunity to ask for help. So I did. I asked her if she wanted to do the club with me, and she said yes. So I went with her to go register our club, and I told her to meet me down in the office. And I was a little scared, but less scared because I wasn't doing it alone anymore. So I texted her that I'm heading down to the office, and she responded saying, I have a few people with me if that's okay. And I was like, of course, I'm sure it's fine if they come with. But when I got down to the office, she literally had 8 people with her. And they were just all sitting with her, and to me, that was a lot of people. And I went up to them, and I was confused. I was like, who are all these people? And then she said that they want to do the club with me, and I was just like, wow. And that moment was so significant to me because in just asking one person to help me, 8 other people showed up who wanted to learn about God and who were hungry for God and who wanted to do the club with me. And there I was, not having even invited anyone else yet the first day, but there were people there with her that I never usually talked to and I would have never expected to want to learn about God. And sometimes, you know, when God calls us to do something, we might not see it like he does. We may even doubt if that's what he really wants us to do. And I know I doubted it at first. I've doubted God. I've second-guessed myself, thinking no one would even be interested in learning about it at school and that that's just not the place for it. But what he says is going to happen will happen regardless if you step into that calling or not. The Bible says in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." I struggled for a long time building up the courage to do something that I thought was so scary, being able to teach a simple Bible study, but through God, he knew that there were people at my school that were desperate for him. And through God, he led me to those people and things, and his understanding was higher than mine. And I just remember walking out of school that day, and after we just like registered the club, talked to the principal, and the first song I heard when I got into my car was called Paul and Silas. And the lyrics just sang, like, I have one desire, and it's that you get the glory out of my life. And it also stated, as long as I have breath, you will be praised. You get the glory out of my life, God. We have the breath to do it. We have God on our side to do great things, and it changed my perspective. I knew that I was right where God wanted me to be, even if I thought I was behind, even though I waited 2 years. I knew that he was going to show me a new mission, and he gave me a new burden for people. In the Bible, Paul and Silas served the Lord and shared the message of God's love. And all it took for me was just stepping out in faith one time and beginning to expect great things. And through God, we ended up having a bigger Bible club than I would have ever expected. Just one small mustard seed of faith that I had, God took it and he used it for his good and he completely multiplied it. And if you could show the pictures of my club, I gave them like two references. We had a girl come into our club who only spoke Spanish, someone I never would have expected to reach out to, but because she didn't speak any English, we had to translate for her every single week, and God opened up doors for us to be able to do that and to have a bilingual Bible club. And I also remember praying that God would bring certain people into my club, and some of the others that came were Muslim, Catholic, atheist, but none of that mattered when we were talking about Jesus, because they were hungry and they were willing to learn at the Bible studies that we had, and they were just willing to discuss and ask questions. Where two or three were gathered, Jesus was there with us, even in our school. I also noticed that in putting more prayer and expectation into teaching the Bible studies, God would bring hungry people. God also brought forth more blessings in my life and more opportunities to do mission work after I started the P7. That same year that I started it, I got to go to Japan on a mission trip. And I've already spoken about this in the past, but just getting to go overseas to pray for a country, to reach new cities that desperately needed Jesus, and to pray for these people and outreach to them on the streets, it really just gave me a bigger passion for missions. And I knew that God prepared me when he asked me to start a Bible study that I would be ready for missions. And God started me off in P7, and he led me to another big calling in my life, and he will keep leading me. It seemed to just be a season of my life where God was opening up door after door and just me having to walk through them. Even if I was scared, it seemed like he was just still aligning my footsteps in every possible way. And, you know, we don't get better at something if we don't practice doing it. I was not good at teaching, even though I am good at talking. But I just know that I would rather take my steps with God beside me, and I would rather put my trust and faith in God and get involved. And I realized that that's what it's all about, spreading the gospel to people who are struggling and who are hurting, even at your schools and your workplaces and your city and other cities and in other countries. There are a lot more people who are interested around you than you might think. And, you know, I really just do feel like in teaching about a small Bible study, I learned just as much as everyone else was learning. I was the one who came out blessed in my call to bless others, and I felt more fed in my journey with God, even though I taught every lesson. I heard stories from the people in my group, and I answered hard questions, which grew my own faith and confidence stronger than it was before. It's also true that others pour into you. I sometimes would start with a message or plan in my head, but we would end up going down a completely different path or direction based on what the other girls would add or ask. And God measures things differently than we do, you know. It was okay sometimes to stray off from what I had planned, and we had great conversations. We talked about a lot of different things, salvation, and just through all their questions, I knew that they were interested. I knew that they were hungry. And through him, I just began to trust God, and I knew that I could do all things. And it gave me hope that people still wanted to be involved. And even though I doubted and I waited so long before actually starting the study, God blessed my boldness, even though I said no so many times and I doubted it so many times, even if I didn't have a lot of it. And just these past few weeks, actually in youth class, we've been talking about a scripture in Deuteronomy 32:30. It says, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to fight unless their rock has sold them and the Lord has given them up? With God, one can bring a flight to 1,000 and two can bring flight to 10,000. And that's powerful to me. And in recalling everything that God led me to do in school, just by reaching out to one person, more would come. And we have the power to speak about Jesus and reach out to others. We have the knowledge. So I just want my testimony to encourage someone, even though you're scared, God can work in that fear, and it's never too late. You never know what God has in store. His plan is greater than ours, and you're always going to be growing. You're never going to be at the perfect amount of knowledge or wisdom. So it's better to just start now and trust in God along the way. And you never know why God is asking you to do something. There are people who need seeds to be planted in them. You could be someone's last hope. You could be someone's answer to a prayer. People need Jesus, and people are searching for him. But just because I'm done with high school now, that doesn't mean I'm done living for Jesus. I have so many more opportunities every day to be a witness to people, and P7 and going to Japan was just the start of that ministry that I know God has for me. And I just encourage the church, start Bible studies. We've been talking about that. Youth, start P7s because it doesn't have to start out big, and you don't have to have it all together, but just sharing your knowledge and sharing what you know about God, even if it's very little, God will use that, and you will end up learning more. And so in my next steps, I'm excited to be attending Madison College. That's why it says Wolfpack. But just being able to work with CMI and ministries on campus, I feel like God is leading me to that and to the next step. And I'm just trying my best to focus on the next right step. And so I'm so thankful I had a great solid grounding in my ministry. And now I feel more prepared to move on to CMI and bigger things. And I'm just so thankful that God gave me a direction, he gave me a burden to love others, and he gave me experiences from Japan and from school. Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to do certain things, but learning to be sensitive to the Spirit and learning to step out of your comfort zone is just so important. Step into those blessings and always put your faith in God. Always trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We're not perfect, no one is, but God can still use you, and he will never leave your side. So thank you all so much for just listening to what I had to say, and I hope God blesses you all. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kate, for that wonderful word. That was amazing. Our next senior is one who we all know and love for her bubbly personality. Olivia has been my right-hand woman when it has come to all things music department. We know she's an amazing piano player, an amazing singer, an amazing worship leader, and I have learned over the last couple years, an amazing leader in general. When she joined the music team, I thought she was older than she was. but in spite of her age, she took all of the challenges and responsibilities I threw her way like a champ and rose to the challenge, and she allowed me to challenge her. So I always appreciated her willingness to grow and learn and expand. So she's been a huge blessing in the music department. And the amount of growth I have seen in her in the last 4 to 5 years has been incredible. So selfishly, I'm sad and mad that you're graduating because that means you're going to college, which means less involvement sometimes in music. So you should not do that. But no, do go far, do big things. Music aside, I will miss seeing her shine bright in her high school plays because she was always the crowd favorite. If you've ever seen her in one of her high school plays, she's amazing. Yes, give it up for Olivia. Every time I've gone to one of her plays, I'll be like the obnoxiously loud person screaming after her solo or at the end of the play. And every time while I'm obnoxiously screaming, somebody around me will like lean over and they'll be like, "Do you know her? She's like the best one up there. She's amazing." And I'm always like so proud, like she's my own kid or something. And I'm like, "Isn't she the best? Yeah." So I'll miss the high school plays. They were always a joy. Jordan is sad that he is losing his Urban Dictionary to explain all of the current Gen Z things, when to say them, when not to say them, especially since he's going to really need that. Yeah, facts. He learned when to use facts. No, I'm just kidding. I would miss that, but I'm too old to even try to keep up with all that. We're very, very happy that Olivia is staying local. And we're very excited to see where the next chapter takes her. So even though you are leaving the youth group, you're not getting rid of us. So we are going to be there to cheer you on all the way. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So Olivia, come on up and bring us the word.
I did not need that ego boost tonight. That was the last thing I needed.
Okay, so before I begin, I am a firm believer in giving honor where honor is due. So I would just like to give thanks to the pastoral staff, to Pastor Roy, for giving me this opportunity to be up here to share my heart, as well as this incredible youth team that I have been able to just be so obnoxious and dramatic under for like the last four years of my life. First, to Kyle and Alicia, I am so thankful that in the time that we really needed it after COVID had happened, that you cultivated such a welcoming and fun environment and kind of hit the ground running once the pandemic was kind of just over. I am so thankful and so blessed to have just like had you as my youth leaders. So I'm very, very excited to see what God has for you guys in this next season of your life. I would like to thank the youth team, Hannah, Jamin, Sarah, Justin. They are the absolute most fun. All the times that they've listened to me rant or gone out to dinner with me or got coffee, just, you know, your average run-of-the-mill, like, an excuse to spend money. Like, it's so great. So I will miss you guys so much. Thank you for investing in me and for being such a huge part of my life. To Abby and Jordan, it was actually funny because when they sat us down to like tell us officially that Abby and Jordan would be the next youth leaders, instead of cheering, I actually like looked at them and gave them the death glare. Because I'm like, of course, you conveniently became the youth leaders the second I left the youth group. But I know you guys will do absolute great things. It has been truly the biggest honor to have also served under you in music ministry too. A lot of people don't really understand how much they've invested in me and have taught me and was able to mentor me. I started music ministry when I was 15 years old, and I walked in not really knowing what to do or how to do things, and it was scary because, you know, I was a teenager and there was like a ton of adults here, and I'm like, whoa, this is so scary. But they made that transition really helpful for me, and I appreciate you guys so much. So I'm so excited to see you as the new youth leaders. You know, I've sat through the last 3 youth weeks kind of just like anticipating when my turn was going to be and sharing this big testimony and the super cool thing that like happened to me in my life. And it's funny because when I realized that it was like my turn for the first time in my life, I had no idea what to say. No idea. No idea. Because if you know me personally, I literally never shut up. I just don't. I don't know if I can say that. I'm sorry. You know, we were given a few pointers. So before I get into sharing what God has for you tonight, I just wanted to take this opportunity to share some of my journey and answer the questions that everyone has had this past year. What's next? So if you can pull that first slide up. On June 1st, I graduated an AP Scholar magna cum laude from the graduating class of 2024 at Marshall High School. In my short 4 years, I was heavily involved in 14 simultaneous clubs and extracurricular activities, balancing a part-time job for 3 of those years, and acquired under 57 hours of community service. While on paper, I seemed like a crazy person, in person, I also seemed like a crazy person, because everyone kind of came up to me and talked to me. She's like, how do you do that? How do you have time for that? How do you balance everything? Like, do you go home? Do you eat? Do you sleep? No. I didn't, actually. But in truth, I made it a very big priority to take my education very, very seriously in all of my pursuits. But also, when I wake up in the morning, I pray for strength because I would not have made it through high school without God's strength. The boldness to enter into my school, to stand firm on my faith, but also to be involved and to make connections and all these things. Oh, I was also class speaker, if you can't tell, but like the little selfie on the thing. Yeah. So that was pretty fun. But praying for strength, I learned really early on, that the more I try to handle my life and my own strength, I never get the result I want. So I did make it a point to do that. And because of the work that I had put into my schooling, if you want to show the next slide, in the fall, I will be attending the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I will be there as a full-time undergraduate student majoring in elementary education. It's actually really scary. A week from today at 9 a.m., I move into my dorm. So getting packed up is really stressful, and cleaning out my closet, realizing I have way too much more than I need. So if you need clothes, like, please talk to me. This is a really scary transition, knowing that attending a secular university, let alone living there, will be a spiritual battle every single day. So as I go throughout this next semester, I ask for your prayers. I thank you for those that have already been praying. Attending this college was, I knew we all know about the reputation and how very scary of a campus it is, but this is something that I did heavily consider, making my ultimate decision. But I feel equipped knowing that I stand on the word of God. I am firm in my faith, and I am very excited for this next chapter in my adulthood. So typically in the senior service portion, it's kind of customary to share a little bit of a testimony or something that like completely altered the course of your life. But to be completely transparent, after praying on this, I felt a very deep impression to not share my biggest, most grandest testimony. Those of you that know me know that a lot of the struggles and battles I face, I keep very private, not because I'm ashamed or feel the need to hide, but because I believe that it takes time and it takes a lot of privacy to allow God to heal you. And I think there are some things that I still am healing from, I'm still working on, and I'm still learning and just growing closer than ever in my relationship with God. So I kind of wanted to not necessarily share a testimony, but share what God has done for me, which I guess is a testimony. But I do want to read from the Word of God. It's 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 14. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, if I am pronouncing these incorrectly, I'm so sorry, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. As she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. It's just like a regular Sunday school class when we had talked about this passage. Sister Jess had been teaching, talking about faith. And honestly, this portion that talks about faith, it was really hard to digest. Because, you know, Elijah goes up to this woman and she barely has next to nothing. She doesn't have a lot. And he's like, go and make me bread. And like, don't fear because God will provide this for you. And it's really hard to think of yourself being put in that woman's position. I barely am getting by. My son and I are about to die from literal starvation, and this man comes in, he wants our food, he's asking us to sacrifice our food, and we're gonna have more? It just doesn't work that way. And like, I'm a logical thinker, so when I think of that too, I'm like, if I was in that position, like I wouldn't think that either. But the next scripture then says in verse 7, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The Lord had promised her that her food will not run out, that she will be provided for. And sometimes it can be really hard to sacrifice. You know, I'm glad that when I was younger, I was able to be instilled the values of giving tithe and offering. But honestly, like, after you get, like, that crisp $20 bill, like, from your grandparents for Christmas, you don't want to give, like, some of that up. Like, you're saving it for something really big, and, like, you can't afford to let that go. And that was my little brain. I understand the value now, but thinking of it, like, as a younger kid, I didn't like that. So my junior year of high school, I had the biggest, baddest attitude towards where I was going to go to college. I wanted to go out of state. I wanted to travel. I wanted to get away. I didn't want to be close to home. I wanted to go to Whitewater. And, like, no offense, no shade to any of the Whitewater alumni, but, like, they gave me food poisoning, which I think humbled me a little bit. But, like, I wanted to go to Whitewater. And I was like, why did I do that? But I think most of all, I wanted to run away from my problems. I struggled a lot with my self-image, how people viewed me, how people saw me, and I wanted to become a completely different person. And like I said, I got humbled real quick. And some people know this story, but after taking many different tours, many colleges, I had finally ended up touring Madison, which, funny enough, was number one on my list of colleges that I absolutely will not be attending. So, you know, I think the Lord kind of just knew what he was doing, and his sense of humor sometimes is crazy. But I had this really big attitude because it was close to home and I knew that I was going to have to stay here. and the campus was too big, and I was coming up with like any excuse in my mind why I wasn't going to go there. So finally, I did what everyone had told me to do. I was like, man, I really, really like this campus. I like was proven wrong, but there's like all these other schools. Well, did you pray about it, Olivia? No. Did you pray about it? Did you ask God? No. No, I didn't. I refused, because in my mind, I thought like I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew what was right. But after I found out that I was wrong about Madison, and I had been wrong about something I was so sure I was right, I was like, okay, let me go pray about this. So that was back in July of my junior year, going into my senior year. So we flash forward to August. I'm writing essays. I'm preparing, getting ready to apply for early applications. And I prayed long and hard for direction or just some sense of clarity. And I didn't get a straight answer, but what I did feel was planted. I didn't understand that at first. I didn't hear the direct voice of God saying, Olivia, you have to stay here, you have to be here. But I've learned that when he's trying to tell you something and you start to listen, there are things in your life that will start to unfold. There are things in your life that will start to kind of just put the pieces back into the puzzle, and so you can see the bigger picture. Because at that time, I didn't see what God was trying to do. And it was weird because I felt so planted here because I realized there was so much left for me to do. New doors started to open for me in my education, in my job, and most importantly, in my ministry. And so I applied to 6 universities. Yeah, that was a big mistake. But I had heard back from the first 3. I got scholarships from 2 of them. I was like, oh, this is really cool. I have backups. This is great. The next 2 that I had applied for, I got denied and then waitlisted and then denied again, but it's fine because I didn't want to go there anyways. But it's kind of funny how the very last one that I was hearing back from was Madison. And I had pretty good grades. I had a lot to speak for me on my record. And I just remember thinking, because we were getting into late January now, and I was like, it's never going to happen. I'm not going to get in. At this point, they're not going to take me. But I stood fast on the Lord, and I prayed, and I'm like, God, because you have laid this path out for me, if I get in, I'm going. I'm trusting you, and I'm going. And in that season, I felt a peace that I've never felt before in my entire life. You talk to so many seniors in high school, and they are stressing about going to college. What are they going to do after high school? What do you want to do? And I felt peace that I could not explain. And ever since then, on January 26th, surely enough, at 10:30, I got a text from my coworker who also had applied, and she's like, Olivia, did you find out? Like, did you get in? And I'm like, what? So I opened up my computer, got into my little student portal, and there in my inbox was congratulations, Future Badger. And in that moment, I literally bawled like a little baby because I was like, I had been so scared because in my mind, I had this thought in my head that I knew exactly what was going on. And ever since then, every aspect of this process was a battle of faith. I've been tried and tested as to how much faith I really have in this season. And I know that everyone says that God is a provider, but I was freaked out. How could I have so much peace and now everything felt like it was ascending into chaos? Unfortunately, I'm not a trust fund kid. I was not getting a cent out of anyone that wasn't myself. And the gravity of the situation may not seem very heavy, but the average cost of being a student per year at UW-Madison is $30,000. Not joking. I'm not joking. If you want to put my title slide, 30,000 reasons to panic, 30,000 reasons to run away, 30,000 reasons to give up and go to community college, 30,000 reasons to reject God, because how could he allow me to get into a college, to go to a college, to have me feel planted and put that impression in my heart to a school that I could barely pay for. But the more and more I thought about that, I was like, maybe that's just it. Just as the woman could barely feed her dying son with so little provisions, why would God allow Elijah to come into her home also hungry and ask for her to make her the food? I remember approaching Sister Jess at the end of that lesson because that was the exact moment that my faith had begun to grow. That one simple Sunday school lesson, and I made sure she knew exactly how much I needed that message in that time. She had allowed God to work through her and to speak through her, and after I heard that message, I began to start altering my perception of the situation and looking at it from a different angle. This wasn't 30,000 reasons to go fall back into a corner
and to cry and to be afraid and to have fear. I can't afford this. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. God says he's a provider. I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing it. There's no one around me that's here to help. This was 30,000 more reasons, yet again, to put all of my trust in God. There has never, never been an instance in my life where God has failed me when I needed help. This is kind of a funny story. I'm going to share it anyways. In December of 2022, I attended a winter youth convention. Now, those of you that know me know that I will not show up to Sunday with anything less than a heel on. That's just me. That's just my thing. So it was the first night of winter youth. We were all praising and dancing, and it was great. Service was on fire. We were having just such a great time, and it was the altar call. We were praising, and I'm just dancing. I'm jumping. I'm just doing my thing, and then my sister comes up to me, and she, like, completely startles me, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what? And my right ankle, I roll over all of my body weight, just like that, just like that. I hear three snaps, and I'm like, that's not good. I wobbled out of there, and I was like, okay, maybe I just need to walk it off. I just rolled my ankle. It's fine. This has happened many times before. That following morning, thank the Lord that I had Madison and Kate in my hotel room, because I woke up, and I was in excruciating pain. I army crawled my way to the bathroom. I army crawled my way back. I got myself dressed, and I called my dad, and I'm like, I need to go to urgent care. This is probably serious. We should just probably get it checked out. And because I'm not the brightest in the bunch, I didn't ice it, so it was also probably not very good. But so they got me up. They carried me all the way down to the foyer. My dad picked me up, and they did some x-rays. This was all during breakout sessions, and they looked at me, and they're like, yep, you got a sprained ankle. I'm like, that's great, because my foot was swollen. I couldn't fit into any of the heels that I was wearing. And like in that, in my mind, like that's what I was thinking in that exact time. And so I was like, okay. So they wrapped me in a cast, and I hobble my way to winter youth, and I didn't have fun because I couldn't jump and I couldn't run the aisles, and I felt trapped. I felt stuck in a box. And the next morning, the very following morning, all I had to do was have faith. The preacher in that morning service had been like, is there anyone here that like needs a healing? And I raised my hand because I was like, it may seem like just a sprained ankle, but I believe that God is a healer, that he can heal me, and that he can do it right now. I don't have to wear a cast. He can heal me right now. So a group of girls came around me and they prayed for me. And I remember instantly, no pain, no swelling, no nothing. And in that moment, I feel like that's where my faith really began to rise. And this was at the time where I had been like, okay, now I need to decide what my next steps are. And God showed me in literal the snap of a fingers, the smallest amount of faith that I needed to have for my ankle to be instantly healed. That following night, I did fit into my heel, the heels that I specifically bought for the night service. So that was great. But I wanted to share that story to kind of remind us that we have the accessibility of God. It's all a matter of, am I going to let him in? Am I going to surrender myself? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I had not surrendered that situation, $30,000, if I had not surrendered that entire situation from God, I could not be able to pay for college right now. The scholarships, the financial aid, anything that I could do to get me in that little chunk, in my own strength, none of this would have happened. And as of right now, I am able to pay for my education, which has been the biggest struggle. Because it's hard to have faith. It's hard to say that, like, oh yeah, I believe God is a provider. Not because of what I did, not because of the money I saved, not because of the scholarship I earned, but because of what God did. Because I laid aside my ego for a second, and I told God, this situation I can't handle in my own strength, so I give it all to you. When you surrender yourself to him, all of your cares, all your worries, all your burdens, he will make a way. And I know that's the same words that keep being repeated when you're going through a test of faith, but you will never truly know. You will never truly feel that peace until you let him. It is your decision. It is not up to him. It is your decision. Are you going to surrender? The insane amount of peace I have felt in these past weeks as I prepare to move in and to enter this next step in my adulthood is unlike anything I have ever experienced before. So I know I'm going a little bit long-winded, but I hope that the word that God had was not just for me, but for someone tonight. Someone that's struggling in their faith, someone that has a situation but thinks it's too big or even thinks it's too small. So I encourage you, keep your grip on his promises. Keep holding on to him. Everything that he promised you, he will do, because he loves you and he does not do anything that is never meant to harm you or to hurt you or to forsake you. Thank you.
Good evening. Don't worry, I'm not up here to speak. If I could have Kyle, Alicia, and or Chloe come up here, please. So I'm here to introduce the next speakers, and how fitting for a changing of the guards to allow the former youth pastors a chance to speak, and to speak to the youth that they've led for the last 4 years. You guys can come up here. You guys are going to be up here speaking. But just to kind of throw some highlights on some of the stuff that they went through, they took over in the midst of COVID. I think spring of 2020. So they took over in the midst of COVID. So they led the youth group through COVID. There was a death in their family, their sister Thompson. They had a child. And one of them grew the greatest mustache I have ever seen. But aside from all the fun, they made it a priority to support the youth and to show them and exemplify faithfulness. That no matter what you're handed, no matter what you're going through, you stay faithful and you stay true to what you know to be true. Invited the youth to their house during COVID and just created a safe space for them to hang out, and built one amazing youth team that is helping Abby and I along. And no, Jordan, this isn't what you do. No, Abby, you go this way. So led me as well. They allowed me on their youth team, and they've been great examples. So I appreciate your faithfulness, your support that you've given to the youth, and it's your turn now. Hold on, I'm not done. Abby's got some things. So the youth wanted to appreciate you, so they got you a card. And Alicia, we know that you're not a flower person, so we got you a plant.
I just want to say thank you. I love you guys, and thank you for all the support. I'm excited to see what happens with you guys.
Thanks, Kyle. Thank you, Jordan and Abby. Thank you to all the youth. I know it's getting late, so I'm going to try to rush through my notes here. But first, I want to make sure to say thank you to this incredible church. There's so many thank yous I could say. I'm really afraid I'm going to forget someone. So if I forget you, I'm so sorry. Because there's a lot of people who've supported us over the last several years. I want to say thank you to the pastoral staff, all of them, specifically Pastor Peter, to all the wonderful youth parents who've put up with us. We love and appreciate you guys. To our youth team, Jordan, Abby, Sarah, and Justin, and Jamin and Hannah, you guys should really be the ones up here getting a gift because you have done so much. We could not have done this without you. And Sister Jessica, helping us out in Sunday school. We truly could not have done any of this without you guys. They're the backbone of this. We're just here, and they do all the work. And obviously, most importantly, I want to say thank you to the incredible youth of our church. The ones sitting up here tonight, the ones who've graduated over the last 4 years or so, we love and appreciate you guys so much. For some reason, this is a really bittersweet transition for me. For some reason, it feels like we're, like, moving halfway across the country. We're most certainly not, so please still come talk to me and invite me to your musicals and your football games, because we love you guys. You've made a huge impact on my life. I have learned and grown so much over the last 4 years. So I really appreciate all of you and love all of you. And I'm so excited for your next chapter with Jordan and Abby. They're wonderful people, and they're so anointed, and I know that they were called to the youth group at this time, and they're going to do wonderful and amazing things. And I had a couple ideas of transitional gifts I wanted to give you guys, and I settled on what I'm going to call the Winter Youth Convention Starter Kit. Winter Youth Convention is a blast. It is seriously top 2 or 3 favorite youth events we do every year. It is a blast. You have so much fun. You get to know these young people. You stay up way too late. You make a lot of memories. There's amazing altar calls. And I know you've been to Winter Youth. Abby, I think they have something similar in Minnesota. All of a sudden, I was worried I was going to say the wrong state. And it's a whole different ballgame into the chaperone. I kind of think it's more fun, but it's like just a little bit more stressful, too. when you're responsible. So most of this is pretty self-explanatory. You've got things like energy drinks and Starbucks and Kleenex, cough drops, Tylenol, all the things. It's truly fun, and every year I go to Winter Youth, I think I'm prepared, and I think this last year I still made a trip to Walmart and two or three trips to a gas station. So there is one thing in here I want to explain a little bit. Olivia kind of stole my thunder here. I don't know if this is the right thing, Jordan. You probably know more than I do. For some reason, the Madison Youth Group has a thing with sprained ankles at Winter Youth Convention. We did break our own record last year with two sprained ankles on the first night. So I don't want to tell you what to do, but if I was going to Winter Youth Convention this year, I would buy like 30 packs of this and just wrap everyone's ankles preventatively. So I can set this up here. You guys can grab it after service. You don't need it now. But, and I also want to say thank you to my husband. Truly, I couldn't have done this without him. We make a really good team. He is the most hardworking and talented person that I know. I don't even think he's in here. I think he's out on crabby toddler, teething toddler duty. He is the calm to my chaos. If you know me, I'm always stressed about all the little details and everything being just right. And he's like, big picture. He's the one setting up chairs, bringing everything in, and then out playing basketball with the kids and making true connections while I'm stressed about details that actually don't matter. And I truly appreciate him. The one thing it's really hard to get him to do is be in the spotlight or hold a microphone, so that's why you're stuck with me tonight. But truly, I appreciate him. And he's also the fun one, which is why I have my daughter's bow stuck in my dress, and I realized that when I got up here because he's always pulling jokes on me. Anyways, it is late, and I've been talking too long, so I really need to get into my notes. Everything pulled up here. I know it's getting late here, so I'm going to try to rush. And I know you can't see them, but tonight with me to church, I have brought four purple elephants. I was waiting for the collective groan, trying to keep a straight face. I can't do it. I forgot. Did I say four purple elephants? I already forgot. Tonight with me to church, I've brought four purple elephants. They're up here. I left one more in my car. You guys are killing me. I left one in my car, and I have six more at home. How many purple elephants do I have? Shout out your answers. Seven. Did everybody get seven? All right. Over here in this section at church, we have two purple elephants. And sitting in this section, there's four. Over here, there's two. And that section has three. There's a big empty space in the front full of purple elephants. How many purple elephants are here? Six. That's correct. It's six. Jordan and Abby have 13 purple elephants. Sarah and Justin have 12 purple elephants. Jamin and Hannah have 47 purple elephants. How many purple elephants does the youth team have? Raise your hand if you got nine. Raise your hand if you're like, Alicia's lost her mind and someone go take the microphone from her. Jordan, Abby, I'm so sad we didn't play this with you because we used to call this youth group initiation. We're going to put a pin in that. I promise we will come back and I will explain the purple elephants. I'm not here just to talk about purple elephants tonight. But over the last couple weeks, months, I've really been thinking about all the wonderful memories I've made with the youth of this church. They're amazing. And I could spend a lot of time reminiscing, but I don't have a lot of time. But there's so many wonderful memories we've had. Altar calls at Winter Youth Convention, Nerf gun wars at my house, a bonfire where like three of you showed up, so we just went to Chick-fil-A. That was fun. Another time you guys all came to my house and there was like 87 of you and I had a six-week-old and I kind of felt like maybe I might have a panic attack. But it was really, really fun. There's so many memories that we've made. We could spend a long time reminiscing, but truly, one of my favorite memories with this group was long bus rides when we would play word games. If you know anything about youth, we tend to go to link rallies usually about once a month at different churches. And we'd have long bus rides home where we'd usually get into these games. And there are several of them. There's the camping game. That's like easy peasy, make you confident. And then we bring out the pogo stick game. Personal favorite. There's Purple Elephant, there's Queen Anne. I don't know if we played Queen Anne too many times. But these games are so fun. Each one of them has some kind of clue. It's like a riddle you have to solve. Some of them have numbers, some of them are letters, some of our words or phrases. They are all different. And one of my biggest rules of this game is don't cheat, don't give up, just hang in there, pay attention to what I'm saying, and eventually you will figure it out. And tonight I'm going to break that rule. I know, it hurts me a little bit. But the answer to the purple elephant game has nothing to do with the numbers that I said. It has everything to do with the number of words in the question that I phrased. So when I said all these purple elephants, I said, how many purple elephants do I have? The answer is 7. If I were to say, how many elephants are here? It's 5. So typically, bus rides would go like this. We'd start playing the game. At first, I facilitated a lot because I'm the one who knew it, but eventually other people started it. There'd be a couple older youth who knew the riddle, and they would get the right questions. And everyone on the bus is, like, doing math. They think they got it figured out. Then they realize, I have no clue what you guys are talking about. And then they're like, you're making this up as you go. This isn't really a thing. You guys are just trying to confuse us and be mean. Then they'd get frustrated. Then they'd get super annoyed. There'd be, like, one youth putting in headphones, like, this is so dumb. I'm not playing this with you guys. And then they, like, pull one headphone out to listen in. It was so fun. And one by one, they'd have like a light bulb moment, like, I think I get it. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. But usually we'd be about 45 minutes down the road, and there'd be like, most of the bus is like laughing so hard our stomachs hurt, and then there's like 2 or 3 youth that are just like, how are we not back at church yet? And obviously we started much like I did at the beginning of the service, but by the end, we were like, there's 750,000 purple elephants on the left side of the road, and on the right side, there's 360 million, and on the moon, there's thousands and thousands of trillions of billions, and now it's raining purple elephants. How many elephants? And they just be like staring at us. And it sounds so dumb when you know the trick and you haven't actually played it, but I promise you when you're playing, it's a blast. When you figure it out and you're just like, kind of torturing the people who don't know. It's hilarious. It really is. I really wanted to just play tonight, and I'm like, it would literally take 7 hours with a group this size. But we'd make it super obvious. Kyle was usually the one who was like, look at me, how many elephants? It was fun. But I promise I'm not just here to talk about purple elephants today. There is a purpose to where I'm going with all of this. And when Jordan asked us to speak tonight, I started, he asked us to kind of share some final thoughts or give like a final charge to the youth. And I just kept thinking about my life as a whole, but specifically over the last couple of years. And I know it's a really, really cheesy analogy, but please bear with me because cheesy analogies just stick in my brain really well and I remember them. But I kind of feel like sometimes life feels like a game of purple elephants. Over the last several years, there's been moments where I've questioned God. I've been confused, I've been frustrated, I've been annoyed, I've been angry. There's also been times where I feel like I'm on top of the world and I've got it all figured out, I've got it all together. When we took over the youth a little over four years ago, we were basically newlyweds. We'd been married like 8 or 9 months. That was in the middle of COVID and all the restrictions. Did anyone play Among Us over Zoom? That was so fun, but I'm so thankful those days are behind us. I don't ever want to do that again. In the moment, it was fun, though. There was a lot that happened at that time. A couple years later, my mom got really sick. And youth, I know you've heard me talk about this time and time again, but it truly was a defining moment for me and my faith. Definitely the most difficult thing I've ever walked through. And during that season, I questioned God so much. It shook my faith to my core. Watching my mom, truly the most godly, loving, good person that I know, get sicker and sicker and weaker, while we prayed and fasted and believed and just kept thinking there's going to be a miracle, and that never happened. It shook my faith. And I remember after she passed, there were times, and I know this is like, I hate getting up and talking this kind of stuff. I feel like I'm so negative. But there were times I came to church, and we'd be singing a song about healing, and I'm like, I can't sing this song. I don't want to sing this song. I know deep down inside these words are true, but I just don't feel them. Like, I know I believe it, but I just don't at the same time. There's a specific song. I don't know if I want to say the words because I want the praise team to continue to sing it because it's a beautiful song. But the first time they sang it after my mom died, I literally felt like someone punched me in the stomach. The second time they sang it, I walked out. The third time they sang it, we had a youth bake sale, and I was out there. And I was like, I'm so glad I have something to distract me, and I don't have to listen to this song. Truly, that time shook my faith. A little bit later, about a year later, I gave birth to my beautiful, crabby, teething toddler. She's truly an angel. I know everyone thinks their baby is, like, the cutest and smartest, but I don't know. Mine really is. I love her so much. But having her really has made me so sure of God's love and God's goodness, and that he knows exactly what I need and when I need it. Nothing has ever made me so sure of God's goodness in my life. I look in those big blue eyes and I'm like, I just want to give you the world. Like, you are so good. God is so good. I love this life that I get to live. And that's probably my highest high and my lowest low. There's a lot more I could talk about. But my point is simply that there are highs and there are lows, and those are the big ones. But we have good days and we have bad days. And I look across this group of young people, and I know you are all in such vastly different places. Some of you are struggling with home situationships, broken homes, fear, anxiety, depression. Some of you are dreading going back to school because I know you've faced issues with bullies in the past. Others of you are about to move into your college dorms. You've just started new relationships. You have amazing parents. You have all the love and support a young person could ever want. And sometimes I pray and I'm like, God, why is life so unfair? And I've realized as I got older and wiser that I'm really not that wise. I am getting old, unfortunately. But I'm really not that wise, and I have a lot more to learn. And the more I learn, the more I realize I really don't know that much. And if I've learned anything over life, it's this, that God is always there. In the good times, in the bad times, when things are going good, when things are going bad, he's always been by my side. And sometimes when you're in the valley, when you're walking through those hard moments, it's really easy to feel like he has forsaken you, like he's not there, that he doesn't care, and that he's not answering your prayers. And the Bible says, we can all quote the scripture by heart, I know. In Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And one thing I've really been learning recently is that doesn't mean everything's going to go perfectly in my life or the way that I want it to or the way that I think it should. But sometimes God has to do a work in us. And we have to walk through things that we don't want to, that don't make sense, and that aren't fair. But he's there. He's walking through it with us. He's doing a good work in us. And this sounds like such a doomsday message. That is not my intent at all. I want to make that clear. I don't want to stand up here and say, oh, life's so tough. It's not. Life is beautiful. I'm so, so thankful for this life I get to live. And there's been days where I've had really, really bad days. And maybe I didn't feel that way. But truly looking back over my life, I can now see God's hand in every single thing that has happened. And I want to remind you to cling to God in the good and in the bad. It's really easy when life is good to get really lazy. And I find myself even in that season right now where lightly just things have just, you know, there's a couple things that just worked out. Us just, we got a new house, as many of you know, and like, it's like a crazy story of how we just kind of sold ours on a whim and then happened to be in the right place at the right time and get this house that was perfect for us. And it's like, God is so good. And it's easy in those moments to be like, just get lazy and just be like, life is good. I'm on top of it. I've got it together. But it's also really easy in those hard times, if you don't have that strong foundation, to kind of just give up. And so I want to remind you, like the Purple Elephant game, there will be good days, there will be bad days. There'll be days when you are frustrated and confused. There'll be days when you're annoyed. There'll be days when you want to slap someone across the face. We played one of these games at Winnie's Convention about 2.5 years ago now, where Jamin brought one up. And I was like, this will be fun. I haven't been on like the other side of these games in a long time. This will be so fun. And we were like an hour. I don't even remember it. I see a lot of head shaking. It was like, it was so dumb. I remember I was like, I'm so good at these. And we were like an hour and a half in. And I have never in my life been so annoyed. It was horrible. Once you figure it out, you're like, I'm so smart. Well, first you have a moment of like, that is so dumb. I can't believe you got me. And then you're like, I'm so smart. I figured it out and I'm going to get everybody else. It's kind of a roller coaster of emotions. But my final thoughts today are simply this. Like I said, don't give up. Hold on to the faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. Whenever we played these games, there were some youth. I won't mention names. Caitlin, I will mention names, that like to Google the game and then text everybody else the answer. And I was like, no, no, you cannot. That ruins the entire game. Everyone has to figure it out. And I was kind of a stickler about that. Don't ruin the game. Like, don't give up. Don't give in. Like, just hold on. It will get better. You will figure it out. If you guys want to stand, I'm just about wrapping up. But like I said, I look back and God was there through it all. I don't have the answer. I wish I could tell all of you who are walking through tough times why that's happening to you. The truth is, I don't know. There's still things in my life, like I said, I can see where God was. I can see that he was there with me. But I look back, and in those moments, I felt like he was nowhere to be found and didn't care about me, didn't care about my feelings or my prayers. But I look back now, and I can see that he was. And I'm so thankful that even though my foundation was shook, even though I questioned, even though I wondered what God was up to. I'm so glad I look back now and I had that strong foundation, that in the good times I've managed to keep a good relationship with God. And I know all of you are off and starting new chapters, starting middle school, starting high school, and I'm sorry I'm focusing on the youth. This really is for the whole church, for all of us. But it's really easy to know. I do know life is easier when you don't give up, you keep holding on. And I know the theme this week is Here Am I. And I was just thinking about how there are weeks I have, or services I have showed up to church, and I'm just like, here I am, God. I made it, and that's all I've got to give you today. I don't have anything else. I'm kind of mad at you. I'm kind of annoyed. I'm kind of frustrated. But I came to church and just do something with my bare minimum. Okay, God, I opened my Bible today, and I just don't have the mental capacity to actually absorb what these words are saying, but I showed up, so please just do something. And there's other seasons where I'm like, God is so good, and I just want to give it my all, and I want to get so involved in everything, and I want to witness to everyone, and here I am, God. Here am I. Use me. Use me. And I realized it's okay. There's different seasons. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, apparently I can't say that word today, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And the verse goes on, but essentially saying, God never promised us that life would be perfect. He is with us and he loves us and he's promised us that he will work all things together for our good. But there will be bad moments. And my message, like I said, I don't want this to come across negative, but God is with you no matter what season you're walking through. Don't give up. When you're on top of the world and you're like, I've got this figured out, he's with you. Keep clinging to him. Don't give up. Don't give up on other people. And when you're the one who's like, why can Kate and Olivia and Kaylin all pogo stick to the moon and back, but I can't? There is a reason, okay? Like, I know like five of you got that joke. Come find me later and we can play the pogo stick game. That one takes a really long time. But there will be seasons when you're confused, and he is with you. Cling to him. When you're walking through these transitions, going to middle school, going to high school, starting college, starting a new grade, he's with you. Don't give up. Just keep clinging on to him. No matter what season you are in, God can use you. And I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit here for my message for altar call. I want to start with having the seniors come up, because they did such a wonderful job speaking tonight. I know there's a couple other seniors. I don't know if they're here. I think Hannah's at college, Bella, Jada. I feel like I'm forgetting someone. I don't know if any of them are here tonight. But if there's any other seniors, please feel free to come up to the front. You guys are about to start one of the most crucial transitions, one of the most exciting transitions of your lives. I babysat both of you when you were like 7. And I don't want to do the math because I'm old. But it's been such an honor to watch you both grow up into, like, beautiful, amazing, talented young women. You're both wonderful, and I'm so excited for this next chapter of your guys' life. And I want to ask youth team, hyphen team, anyone who's here to come pray with them as we, as they transition to this next season of their life. And also the whole entire youth group, if you guys all want to come up, we're just going to do, like, multiple prayers here at one time. The whole youth group wants to come up. I just want to pray for all of them. It's youth week. That means we're going back to school soon. There's a big transition. I want to pray for each and every one of you just for boldness in this next season. And that, like I talked about, that you don't give up. That in the good times and the bad times, you remember he's there and he cares. Even when you don't see it, he's working behind the scenes. He is good and he is working things out for your good. And again, I know I focus a lot on the youth, but I really want to open the altar call to the whole entire church. And I'm a little biased because I've been in youth ministry for like 5 years, but I believe the youth group is such an important part of this church. I understand the phrase that they're the future of the church. I understand that, but they also are the church. And these young people are so important and so beautiful, and I love them so, so much, and I'm so proud of them. So I want to ask all of you to come up and join me in prayer for them as one big unified body. And also, like I talked about, for each and every one of us, that God would that we'd be reminded that God is with us in each and every season. He's there. He's walking with you. Cling to him and don't give up. He's with you. In Jesus' name.
I need you to soar.